Hello. Hello, this is Jeff Gehart, and this is the Linux Daily for April 2nd, 2004. I'd like to take a moment to thank one of our presently unnamed listeners for sending me a nice little package in the mail. I appreciate the gesture. Very kindly got a package of a couple of very fine cigars in the mail, congratulating us for starting up the Linux Daily. I appreciate all the support out there, and I appreciate the support from our sponsors as well. Today's show is brought to you by ISPCon. The people from the Golden Group are the management company for ISPCon. ISPCon is the consummate event for internet service providers, and I encourage you to check out their website, ISPCon.com. Their spring conference is coming up the 14th through the 16th of April. That's just a couple of weeks away. Well, if you came to our site yesterday looking for the show, you saw a little post there saying, check back later, we're going to have a show later. Well, that was our April Fool's joke to you all. We decided not to do a show because it was April Fool's Day, and we did, after all, want to do a little work on our NOC. In the spirit of what we did have posted on our website yesterday, we would like to take a moment and read one item posted by Brian Proffitt, the managing editor of Linux Today, and I will give this a read. The title of the poem is called, If IBM Made Toasters. If IBM made toasters, they would want one big toaster where people would bring bread to be submitted for overnight toasting. IBM would claim a worldwide market of maybe 5 or 6 toasters. If Xerox made toasters, they could toast one-sided or two-sided. Successful slices could get lighter and lighter, and the toaster would jam your bread for you. If Radio Shack made toasters, the staff would sell you the toaster, but not know anything about the toaster. Or you could buy all the parts and build the toaster on your own if you liked. If University of Waterloo made toasters, they would immediately spin off a company called Watt Toast. If Park Place made toasters, their OO building block system would be called EGGO, Ego. If Oracle made toasters, they'd claim their toasters compatible with all brands and styles of bread, but when you got it home, you discover that the bagel engine was still in development, and the croissant extension was 3 years away yet, and that indeed, the whole appliance was just blowing smoke. If Sun made toasters, the toast would burn often, but you'd get a really good cup of Java. Does DEC make toasters? They made good toasters in the 80s, didn't they? If Tandem made toasters, you could make toast 24 hours a day, and if a piece got burned, the toaster would automatically toast you a new one. If Thinking Machines made toasters, they would be able to toast 64,000 pieces of bread all at the same time. If Cray made toasters, they would cost $16 million, but they would be faster than any other toaster in the world. If the Rand Corporation made toasters, it would be a large, perfectly smooth, and seamless black cube. Every morning, there would be a piece of toast on top of it waiting for you. Their service department would have an unlisted phone number, and the blueprints for the box would be highly classified. The X-Files would have an episode about it. If NSA made toasters, your toaster would have a secret trapdoor that only the NSA could access in case they needed to get at your toast for reasons of national security. If Sony made toasters, the Toastman, which would be barely larger than a single slice of bread meant to toast, but conveniently attached to your belt. If Timex made toasters, they would be cheap, small, quartz crystal wristwatch toasters. They would take a licking and keep on toasting. If Fisher-Price made toasters, baby's first toaster, would have a hand crank that you could turn to toast the bread and pop up like a Jack in the Box. It's the Franklin Mint Maid Toasters. Every month you would receive another lovely handcrafted piece of your authentic handcrafted Civil War pewter toaster. If the United States government made toasters, the bread would need FDA seal of approval and accompany paperwork and cost about $5,000. Of course, if the bread failed to toast properly, taxes would be raised to compensate those too poor to afford another slice of bread. If Gateway made toasters, the toaster would come with plenty of high-priced add-ons, make halfway decent toast, but would cost 500% more than other toasters due to using MBNA toast. If E-Machines made toasters, the toasters would be made of plastic and other undesirable cheap materials, and 75% of the time would toast bread. The other 25% of the time, the toast would be remotely ejected by tech support. If Dell made toasters, there'd be tons of commercials about, "Dude, you're getting toast." If the United States Air Force made toasters, they'd figure out a way to remove unnecessary items from the toaster, yet demand that the toaster make more, higher quality toast faster than the norm. That and the directions for use would fill a room. However, that'd be the best damned military toasters in the world somehow. If Linus Torvalds made toasters, they'd come for free, perhaps shipping charges, be made of the best materials, and would come with clear, concise directions. If Mozilla made toasters, they'd be mostly user-friendly, well-designed toasters with all of and only the most useful bread toasting features. However, anyone else using IE toasters wouldn't know who Mozilla Toast is and would cry out in panic if you replaced their IE toasters. If Compaq made toasters, they might not have gotten purchased by HP Toast. If Slackware made toasters, they'd be the most average toaster, yet people would love them because they could get them freely and take them apart and customize them, and they'd work. If EDS made toasters, they would cost about $200 per year to rent. You could use only one kind of bread, and it would require a service call to change the light-dark setting. If Costco made toasters, they'd be really cheap, as long as you bought six of them. If Microsoft made toasters, every time you bought a loaf of bread, you'd have to buy another toaster. You wouldn't have to take the toaster, but you'd still have to pay for it anyways. Toaster 95 will weigh 15,000 pounds, hence requiring a reinforced steel countertop, drawing enough electricity to power a small city, taking up 95% of the space in your kitchen, would claim to be the first toaster that lets you control how light or how dark your toaster would be, and would secretly interrogate your other appliances to find out who made them. Everyone would hate Microsoft toasters, but nonetheless would buy them since most of the good bread only works with their toasters. And lastly, if Apple made toasters, it would do everything Microsoft toasters do, but 5 years earlier. And now on to some real news. If you haven't heard it yet, the Zaris 6000 is out, and it's here in the United States, not just in Japan. This is a remarkable step forward for an already successful series of Sharp PDAs. The Zaris series are the best of the crop of the Linux OS PDAs that are on the market today. The 6000 is another step forward for this family of products. We're pretty happy with the 5500 and the 5600. As a matter of fact, we had as guests at the Linux World Expo Joe Creek from Lycoris, and we were taking a look at the 5600 using the Lycoris desktop. It's a very, very hackable device so that the user can custom tailor it to their own personal desktop. So if you're using one desktop or another, you don't have to use exactly what comes with the PDA. You do have some options with it being Linux. Now, the 6000 does feature a lot of hardware improvements over the last version. First of all, it does come with an Intel 400 MHz CPU. It comes with 64 MB of RAM and 64 MB of flash ROM. But that's not where it stops. There is the opportunity for extension. You have a single SDIO slot as well as a USB host. The screen is phenomenal. It's 4 inches wide, a little bit larger than the previous versions, 640 by 480, and it can go from portrait to landscape in an instant. Has a hot swappable battery and is truly a remarkable device. Everybody who has gotten their hands on one seems to be raving. I think the thing that's most popular, though, is the fact that it's got built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So, go out, take a look, see if you can find one. They're presently have got a price tag of $699.99, a little high, but really you're looking at PC-based power. You're not looking at PDA power. But check it out, and if nothing else, this has got to drive the price down on the 55 and 5600 remaining inventory, so keep an eye out for that windfall as well. And now to our feature story of the day, Sun Microsystems. I suppose I should say that Sun is a sponsor of the Linux Show. Not the Linux Daily, but the Linux Show. But after today, there's a great possibility that they will no longer be so. But we are obligated when we're covering an important story and someone has been a sponsor, we think that it's editorially responsible that you know the truth. Now today, Sun Microsystems announced to the world that they're going to be reducing their staff by 3,300. This was an essential thing for Sun to do because not long ago, Sun was whacked by the people on Wall Street. We're talking about just, well, less than a month ago, right at the beginning of March. Sun's funding ratings for taking out loans dipped down to junk level status. If you go to the Reuters.com website, I'm sure you can look up a number of stories about Standard & Poor's cutting Sun Micro's status to junk level. This was an important issue that Sun had to face. They were no longer going to be able to affordably get financing on their debt and on their loss. So I understand Sun had to do something about the change in business. Indeed, Sun, embracing the open source community back in January, was part of their attempt to do something about the problems their company was facing. So today they announced they were going to lay off 3,300 people as part of the effort to raise their status on Standard & Poor's listings and get the company on a little bit better footing. Now, this was an important thing to do because, being honest, Sun was bleeding, losing $200 million a quarter on several billion dollars worth of business. This is not something that you can go on doing forever, of course. $200 million is not chump change. It's a prudent thing for their business to do to restructure, to eliminate those losses. Kudos for them facing up to their fiscal responsibility. I hope they now pay all their vendors that they owe money to. But what has gotten under my craw, so to speak, is that on the same day where Sun cuts off 3,300 employees at the knees, at the exact same day, Sun also announces a settlement with Microsoft on the long, long, long-standing grievances between Sun v. Microsoft. For those of you who are completely unaware, Sun has been claiming for years a couple of different things. First of all, they've been claiming that Microsoft had been illegally using intellectual property owned by Sun. They have also accused Microsoft of behaving in antitrust behaviors, illegal antitrust behaviors. And this has been in court for many, many, many years. Long-standing grievance between the two. So, today, they announced good news, a settlement on their court cases between each other. In addition to a settlement, this is going to put them, these two companies, into a solid footing with interacting with each other, including a guaranteed hiatus of no more lawsuits between the two companies for a period of 10 years. Now, to get this accomplished, Microsoft is absolved from admitting guilt. Gee, that's something, huh? Microsoft doesn't have to admit they're guilty, but they have to pay Sun $700 million to settle the antitrust issue. They also have to pay $900 million to resolve the patent issues. In addition, there's also a final payment, a $350 million payment. It's sort of an upfront payment for Microsoft to be licensing some of Sun's technology that they've been using all along anyways. So everything's well and good between the relationship between Microsoft and Java. So on one hand, you have 3,300 employees getting the axe. On the other side, you have $2 billion cash being infused into Sun. Let's do the math, shall we? Everybody take out your calculators. $2 billion divided by 3,300 employees comes up to a little over 600,000. Let's take another number crunching exercise for a moment, shall we? Let's take 3,300 times $50,000. That comes up to $165 million. They could preserve their jobs by maybe reducing their pay down to $50,000. I know Sun's people make a lot of money. So scale them back a bit, pay them $50,000 each, and they're roughly making about the same a year what Sun is bleeding in order. So it's really an inconsequential amount of money in the big picture. If we take that $2 billion and just scale it out over $200 million that they're bleeding per quarter, that gives them many years if they would be a little bit more fiscally responsible about their company. I think they need to look in other ways other than just their employees. Again, I know a company has got to do what a company has got to do, but I think that they could have been a little bit more prudent and a little bit more tasteful and a little bit more tactful than to fire 3,300 people on the same day that they slid $2 billion into their pockets. Now, is there good news in this story? There should be, shouldn't there? Well, yeah, there is. There's plenty of good news to go around. There's good news for the executives at Sun, because literally overnight, the company's turned around. They've laid off 3,300 people. That'll make Wall Street happy. Their bond rating will change. They will be more fiscally responsible, and so it's more likely that their earnings ratio will improve. People will start to buy their stock. And indeed, the stockholders are going to be happy, because they're going to see that $1 billion going into the company, and at least a portion of that $1 billion ought to drop to the bottom line somewhere. So the stockholders win. Okay, to be fair, yeah, there's the Java community out there. That whole thing with the antitrust thing is all about. So let's be fair, the Java community wins. All the Java users out there are going to get a more Java friendly Microsoft. So a lot of websites win, and a lot of software developers do win. So there's a plus side. Who else won? Oh, the executives win. Because, now all of a sudden, overnight, the company is going to look better financially. So you think they're not going to be earning some incredible bonuses for all this? And what else? Who else might just gain in this? Oh, yeah, Microsoft. They don't have to admit in front of a judge that they were guilty of antitrust. How about that? This has been the Linux Daily for April the 2nd, 2004. You have been listening to a pre-recorded edition of the Linux Daily. If you'd like to participate, email us at staff@geekcast.com. And if you enjoy what we do, please feel free to check out our website, support our sponsors, as well as click on the PayPal button. Throw us a few bucks. Catch you tomorrow.